Friends, grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of our Lord and our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Let me pray. Father God, as we gather to hear your word, to receive your grace through the word, we pray that you would light up our hearts and minds with the living word, your Son, Jesus Christ, and transform us into his likeness. And come, Holy Spirit, fill our hearts and minds. And come, Holy Spirit, and use the words that I speak for your glory and for the good of your people here. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me read to you from Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. This is what Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established as the highest of the mountains. It will be exalted above the hills, and all nations will stream to it. Many people will come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the temple of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways so that we may walk in his paths." The law will go out from Zion, the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many people. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore. Come, descendants of Jacob, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Back in April, March, you may remember I took some long service leave. It feels so long ago. And Jenny and I went over to Spain and we did the pilgrimage, the Camino de Santiago, where we walked across Spain. Well, walked a fair bit of it. With the injuries, we had to bust it every now and then. But that's the final spot where you reach, where all the paths lead to the different pilgrimages from Spain. We did the French way. This is the Cathedral of St. James, with our shoes in the forefront. It's a place of celebration that fills that square as the pilgrims reach their destination. But for some pilgrims, it doesn't finish there. It finishes at a place called Finisterre, which is the place, a place in the ancient world, which means the end of the earth. And as I said, for some, this is the end of the journey. You know, it's a place of beauty. We're standing at the edge of the world, as believed by the Romans at that time. Stands this lighthouse, standing like a watchman over the edge of the world, directing ships, providing safety. Now, when you finally arrive there, you'll see why so many pilgrims believe it's a sacred space, a special space. Especially at sunset, we weren't there, but we saw many photos. Then at night, the beam from the lighthouse, it still functions. It crosses the water slow and steady, and a sense of calm washes over the people gathered there. In the daytime, the lighthouse is quite striking. But yet at night, when the fog rolls in from the ocean, the beam becomes a comforting lifeline. It reaches out across the darkness, whispering, "You're safe. You're near home." Just a short walk from the lighthouse, on the same landing on the top of the cliff, you'll find this impressive stone cross perched up high as well. You know, the winds might be strong, there might be a gusting in that spot, but that cross remains steadfast. It has for many centuries. Like a lighthouse too, it's a comforting reminder that the God of our journey has gone before us, behind us, but also stands right beside us, shining light to guide us, cross of safety, of salvation. The thing is, though, you don't need to be at the edge of Spain to feel that reassurance, that certainty, because here in Loxton, we also have our special guiding light too, don't we? The tall tower with the red beacon. When you're driving home at night, maybe from a trip from Adelaide, whether you're coming up from Caroonda or Swanreach or the Wakery Way, it stands out from miles away, doesn't it? Before you reach the river or the bend in the road towards town, there it is, calm and steady. It's a gentle reminder that you are close to home. Perhaps you've been away for a caravan trip for months and you're waiting to get back home to your own bed and you see that tower in the day or that red light and have your shoulders soften a bit, take a breath, a big breath of relief because you know you're nearly home. It's just a simple red light though, or a simple tower, but it carries a message of hope. Isaiah gives God's people alike a light like that too. And see, Isaiah is speaking into a world that's shrouded in fog as such. Israel, or Judah, because the kingdoms had split by then, so Judah and Jerusalem were surrounded by the Assyrians, full of anxiety, political chaos. Syria was trying to form an alliance with Egypt to strengthen their place in the Middle East at that time. They needed to get Jerusalem. Imagine what they were thinking at that time. Maybe wondering if God was still with them. Be the same for us too. May not be Israel in the 700s BCs, but there's times where it may feel like, is God still guiding me? Or it seems like history is just veering way off course. And so that's where Isaiah shows, where God shows Isaiah a vision. Not of the darkness that they were currently facing, but of a glorious future that's filled with God's radiant light. Same for us too. We may be facing darkness, but there's hope. That's what the season of Advent draws us to remember. That we are people of God living in his radiant light. Isaiah said, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established and all nations will stream to it. It's a breathtaking image. People of every land, every nation, walking toward God, not away from him. Of nations dropping their weapons and reusing them, pounding them into agricultural items, items of peace, items to feed the people. A world where peace is normal, where war is unthinkable. And it's God saying, this is where everything is heading. This is the true horizon. This is the light that will never fail. And like a lighthouse beam that's cutting through the ocean fog, like Loxton's Red Tower glowing on the horizon after a long journey. That is our true horizon. God's promises that will never fail. And see, Isaiah's, his vision shines so brightly, even for us today. And what it does is it illuminates the reality of the darkness that still exists in our world today. That's what light does. Light exposes the dark deeds. That's what Paul talks about. We see the conflicts. We face conflicts still today. We see divisions in the world. We see it in our own communities. There's unforgiveness, there's fear all around us. We could go on and on. And if we're honest, those shadows often reside within our own hearts as well. Our swords may not be made of steel, but they can still be very sharp. Sharp words, lingering grudges, quiet resentments, patterns that we find difficult to let go of. And so that's where Isaiah's words, they're like a mirror for us, like a signpost, they're like a fence. And some of you may remember that from your confirmation lessons of how God's law works for us, the three uses of the law. It holds up a mirror. And Isaiah asks, where are we walking in fog instead of God's light? Where do we sharpen what God wants to soften? We know that with the law, there's the gospel too. And so Isaiah doesn't stop at just this mirror or telling people how to live or to expose their sin, but he says, lift your eyes to the horizon. Yeah, God wants to transform you. God wants to grow you. But lift your eyes to the horizon. And because the mountain Isaiah saw became real in Jesus. Jesus is the lighthouse, the light who shines in the darkness, who guides us when we're lost, who calls us home. So the mirror, the signpost, shows our need for Jesus. Points us to Jesus, telling us that we are forgiven. That cross at Finisterre, the end of the earth, you know, it can remind us that the cross genuinely does bring salvation. It stands next to that lighthouse, the cross of Christ, where peace was established, forgiveness was given freely, and the hope Isaiah envisioned started to unfold in the world. And that's why Isaiah ends with that invitation. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. Walk, not sprint, not skip, just walk. Step by step, day by day, trusting in the one who leads us. Think again of that light that shines from a lighthouse, or the stone cross, the red glow of Loxton's Tower. Each one says something about God. You are guided. You are loved. You are not far from home. So this week, perhaps you consider asking yourself, what is one sword I can lay down? Will turn into an item of peace? What is one step I can take into God's light this week? Where is Christ calling me to move out of the fog and closer to his peace? We do that knowing our identity is secure in Christ, that we are his children. And we can ask these questions to grow more and more like Christ. Because God's future and that journey that we walk, it's not about wishful thinking. We have hope in the certainty of what Christ has done. We have hope in that God's kingdom has already come in Christ. It's here now, but we also wait for the fulfillment of that kingdom when Jesus returns. So hear Isaiah's invitation as your own today. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. As his people, let us follow in his footsteps. And may that light, steady as Finisterre, familiar as Loxton's red beacon, may it lead us all safely home. My friends, may the peace of God that passes all our understanding, may it guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.